This is Fresh Air. I'm Ken Tucker, Fresh Air's rock critic and critic at large for Entertainment Weekly. In 1996, I had the chance to interview Loudon Wainwright III here in the studio and cajole him into playing a few songs from his then new album, Grown Man. Since then, he's released another fine CD called Little Ship, and just recently his son, Rufus Wainwright, made a media splash with his own debut album. Loudon Wainwright has been making records for about half of his 50 years now, and all of them are funny and fearless and moving on the subjects of romance, broken marriages, and the way parents and children try and most often fail to understand each other. Where other singer-songwriters tend to make themselves look good, or at least like sensitive souls who have learned from their mistakes, one great value of Loudon Wainwright's music is that he freely acknowledges what a screw-up he is, and thereby allows us to recognize what screw-ups we can be ourselves. Combine that with a gift for catchy melodies and a better sense of rhythm and meter than most print poets have these days, and you've got one of the most entertaining and enlightening performers in contemporary music. I began by asking Loudon to do a little growing up right in the studio by playing the title song from that CD.
Okay, Ken, here it comes. You got a grown man for a boyfriend. Better treat him just like a baby. He's a saint on Sunday, he's a bum on Monday. The rest of the week he's just crazy. He's unpredictable, like an animal. Proud as an eagle, big and strong like a bear. He's a snake and a frog, he's a pig and a dog. There's a menagerie that's living in there. You'll be his princess forever after, yes. If you keep acting like you're always 16, he is the king, and ruling the kingdom's his thing. Just remember his mother is queen. Don't you forget it. Sometimes he fools around when he goes out of town. But sooner than later, he's bound to get caught. Yeah, he loves coming home. But then he has to roam. Mr. Ambivalence, the guy that you got. He's got some problems. No, you can't solve them. He's got some goblins he can't exorcise. Mostly he wants to cry. He's afraid to die. But he's living life like it's a booby prize. Don't you forget it. Wishes he were young, a little better hung. And he's paranoid, you feel that way too. So reassure him, you'll never cure him. But he still needs his daily dose of you. So don't forget it. You got a grown man for a boyfriend, so you better treat him just like a baby. Yeah, he's a saint on Sunday, he's a bum on Monday. Rest of the week he's asleep on Sunday, he's a beast on Monday. Rest of the week he's blue on Sunday.
That's Loudon Wainwright. I was joking with a friend this morning saying that I wasn't really going to ask you actual questions. I was going to just have you like sing song after song, and in between them I was going to say, right on, you're singing my life, Loudon, all right.
My job, and in your life, Ken.
Well, as with so many of your songs, there's something sort of creepy and admirable about that song at the same time, you know? I would think that a lot of women would you know, appreciate the fact that you recognize that lots of men want to be treated like babies and want their women to act like teenagers. Is that a reaction you get? I mean, do people get it? Do you think your listeners understand what you're saying on those couple of levels?
I think they do. At least this is not a song I've had a lot of complaints about. Some of my other material has rubbed various groups the wrong way, or just rubbed them one way or another. But this is kind of a stand by your man, even though he's a complete idiot. And why would you want to do that type thing?
Uh-huh.
You know, what's the matter with you? Why would you want to be with this guy to begin with? But it is somewhat romantic.
Yeah, I think, yes, I certainly think so. I always wonder whether anyone in your family or among your ex-wives and people you've been involved with have ever been so hurt or insulted by a song that you've regretted writing it, or you've decided, oh, I'll take that out of the act.
Well, you know, my experience is that that people like to be written about. They're, I suppose, on an egotistical level, it's pleasing to them, you know, to be mentioned in song, even if they're criticized or spleen is vented in their direction, whatever. And in the case of my children, whom I've all written about, and even the ex-wives, I think they secretly just, they kind of like it. And the ex-wives, of course, can write back, so to speak, and have done.
This song called Father-Daughter Dialogue is really particularly striking, I thought, in the sense of how it's been done. I mean, the first verse is sung by your daughter, Martha. You sing a response to what she says, and it's basically a song which, you know, basically castigates you as a father. And what I find interesting is the whole idea of you writing a song, you supplying her basically with the ammunition, and then having her write that. What was her reaction when you first, did you write the song and then show it to her?
Well, actually, it all happened in a short period of time. We had she was visiting me in New York, and we went to a restaurant and had an argument. This argument, being that, you know, I write these songs and drag my children into them, and yet in real life I'm never around, and when I am, I'm kind of uptight, and even though in the songs it makes me kind of look kind of nice and cozy, mm-hmm. in a certain kind of a way. And I was trying to defend myself, and she was really letting me have it. I think her argument is the strong argument, the strong half of the argument. But I decided when I got, you know, to write a song and try to kind of encapsulate the argument. And then I did play it for her, mm-hmm. the next day. And she seemed to think that I got more or less what was said in the argument.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to play Martha's side of this, and so we can hear that and then sort of get your reaction to that.
Okay.
I'd like to listen to that.
Dearest Daddy, with your song, do you hope to right your wrongs? You can't undo what has been done to all your daughters and your son. The facts are in and we have found that basically you're not around. Dearest Daddy, try as you might, all you are is just uptight. Sing of my mother and me, somewhat sentimentally. You sing of a father and son, when all you do from him is run. You like to think that things are okay by singing things that you should say. Dearest Daddy, with your song, do you hope to right your wrongs?
I mean, it must be one thing to write those words, but then to actually hear your daughter singing them. I mean, what was that like for you to go through the experience of recording that?
It was It was great. She's a good singer. I mean, I was...
Yeah, she has a really nice voice.
Very, you know, for and a mature, she's a mature singer. She knows how to sing. Now, those, Rufus, my son, and Martha, their mom is Kate McGarrigle, and they've been brought up singing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great performance. It was exciting to do it. It was a dramatic afternoon. To actually put it down on tape,
yeah,
and it's not a duet, you know. We do not sing together. It is a kind of a dialogue, mm-hmm. a musical dialogue.
I mean, the crucial line in that song and on this entire album, it seems to me, is when you say, "I expiate my guilt with songs."
Mm.
I mean, is that how you look at it? Is the guilt as much for what you've done in life as for what you're doing in writing about people in songs?
I guess I try to. The songs are not therapeutic, so the expiation is not. I'm not solving much in my own personal psyche, I don't think. By dwelling on it can even be argued that by dwelling on all this stuff, that you might be making things worse. But I've always written about myself, and I'm very interested in what goes wrong in relationships. And recently, in the last couple of albums, I've really focused a lot on what goes wrong in the family situation. You know, I've a couple of broken marriages, and again, kids that I didn't really grow up with.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to me, and I don't know how much. Again, I don't know how much guilt I'm removing. Maybe it's exhibitionist or whatever it is. But I think it's interesting to other people too.
Mm-hmm.
And a writer has to find out something to write about that's going to interest other people. And people are terribly interested in these things, you know, relationships with their sister or their children or their parents, or when a parent dies, or this is the real stuff.
Loudon Wainwright recorded in 1996. His latest album is called Little Ship. We'll continue our concert and conversation after this break. This is Fresh Air. Let's return to our concert and conversation with Loudon Wainwright, recorded after he released his 1996 CD, Grown Man. Certainly the most extraordinary autobiographical song on this new album is called A Year, which from my listening to it seems to actually be a song written to a child of yours whom you avoided seeing for the first year of its life. Is that right?
Yes. This is a girl who's now 2.5 years old, who lives in New York. Alexandra, if she's listening. it was a difficult situation. It's hard for me to talk about it in real life. Maybe I should
right.
just sing the song, but you're right. I didn't, for the first year, I stayed away, and
mm-hmm.
now I'm happy to report that I'm a little closer. I'm tiptoeing closer.
Well, that's good. Would you perform the song?
Yeah,
Thanks.
Me just check my tuning. That's close enough for folk music.
The only time I've seen you was about a year ago. I was afraid to hold you, but I wanted you to know. I touched your tiny perfect hand before I went uptown. I didn't pick you up because I'd have to put you down. For reasons that don't make much sense, and you won't understand, I've stayed away for your first year. It's sort of what I planned. But I've been in your neighborhood, sometimes just blocks away. I didn't come. come to visit you because I couldn't stay. There was a baby on a plane. Maybe she was two, and she was smiling at me. I was not sure what to do. I've kept my distance from you. A year's much more than a while, and so I looked away from her, too ashamed to smile. When I saw you last year, I knew that there was no mistake. Amazing things can happen. Why? Just look what life can make. But life can get so hard sometimes. Some feelings can't be tamed. And people get so angry, frightened and ashamed. You've been a sort of secret for a year. I've told but few, although I'm sure that where you are, so many must love you. And I've passed by your window, haven't dared look in. Although I know I'd love you too, I'm too scared to begin.
That's a really beautiful song.
Thanks.
We should make clear that not every song on Grown Man is harrowingly autobiographical. I think in your never-ending quest for a novelty hit that could possibly match Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road from about, gee, what is it now? About
72, I think.
Yeah, I was over 20 years. This time you've come up with a song called I Wish I Was a Lesbian.
Yes.
Can you enlighten us upon the inspiration for that song?
Well, I was riding around in a car with a woman that I'm particularly close to several times a week. I was noticing that she was looking out of the window and noticing other women. You know, how this one looks, and isn't her hair nice, and what a lovely outfit. I said, babe, what's the deal here? You're noticing all these other chicks. Maybe you're a lesbian. Well, she looked at me and she said, I wish I was a lesbian. Not that point, Ken.
I like the way you've worked me into the song.
Oh, at that point, Kenneth, I wanted to say, you mean you wish you were a lesbian, because grammatically, but I let it slide. I didn't want to ruffle any feathers. But you know, Ken, that sentence, that retort, I wish I was a lesbian, it kind of stuck in the old Laudo's mind. It kind of lodged there. And 7 or 8 minutes, one or the other, this tune toppled out. It's going to be very big for me.
I wish I was a lesbian and not a hetero. I wouldn't have to mess with men and all their come and go, and all that awful facial hair and yucky machismo. Oh, I wish I was a lesbian and not a hetero. I wish I was a lesbian and that I wasn't straight. I would sleep with women only. Man, it would be great. I could throw away my diaphragm. I wouldn't want a mate. Oh, I wish I was a lesbian and that I wasn't straight. Hey, it's kind of catchy, huh? On National Public Radio, too. I wish I was a lesbian, I'd like to be a dyke. I would hang with Katie Lang, Mel Gibson, take a hike. I think it would be nice to love someone who was alike. Oh, she was a lesbian, I'd like to be a dyke. I wish I was a lesbian, that's why this song is sung. It shouldn't have to matter how someone is hung. Other things are more important, like how you use your tongue. I'd like to be a lesbian. Second time in the interview I've done the hung thing. I don't know, maybe I got a one track. Something or other. I wish I was a lesbian. I know it's sad but true, but maybe I might understand you guys and all you do. But if I was a lesbian, I wouldn't have to. I wish I was a lesbian. I know it's sad but true. Hey, I wish I was a lesbian and not a hetero. I wouldn't have to mess with men and all their come and go. And all that awful facial hair and yucky machismo. I hate that damn machismo. Oh, wish you was a lesbian and not a hetero. Wish you was a lesbian and not a hetero. I wish you was a lesbian and not a hetero. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, it's going to be skunk time all over again, boy, when that hits the airwaves.
I think so. Lesbian mania.
Oh, yeah.
That's Loudon Wainwright III, right to him, not to Fresh Air.
I'm not giving out my address either.
That rascal Loudon Wainwright, recorded in 1996. We'll continue our concert and conversation in the second half of the show. I'm Ken Tucker, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Ken Tucker, Fresh Air's rock critic and critic at large for Entertainment Weekly. Loudon Wainwright's latest album is called Little Ship. Today on our archive edition of Fresh Air, we're listening to a concert and interview recorded in 1996, following the release of his CD, Grown Man. Let's get back to our conversation.
The whole thing about you in the beginning of your career was that you were going to be one of those new Dylans. You got mm-hmm. that tagged. But it seems to me that the thing about Dylan was that what Dylan was important about was proving that you didn't have to have lines that rhymed and they could be real long, unruly lines and stuff like that. Whereas your stuff is very precisely written.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you do for comic effect? I mean, is it something that helps the funniness of the song to make it very kind of precise and perfect? And how difficult is that to do, to construct a song that's got those kind of intricate puns and things?
Well, you know, I think you develop a writing style over a period of time. I pay a lot of attention to detail, and I'm really interested in, as you say, you know, putting the right word together with whatever the other right word is.
Just as you're doing now.
How articulate of me to say. You put the right word with the one that's also right. I can write songs, but I can't talk.
Uh-huh.
My father, who died in 1988, was a journalist, quite a famous journalist here in America. He wrote for Life magazine, and mm-hmm. he had a column called The View from Here. And I, more and more as time goes on, I think that, although I denied it for years that he had any real influence on me and on my work in particular, I can see now that he was a big influence. I'm beginning to realize just how big an influence he was. This summer I stayed in the apartment that he spent the last 20 years of his life in. It's in New York on the Upper West Side, and he lived there with a woman who he had a child with. I have a half-sister called Anna, who's 12. And Anna and her mom still live in this apartment. She's my common-law stepmom, you could say. And she's mentioned in a new song that I have about... I've dragged her into one of these songs, and boy, I don't know what she's going to think. Mm-hmm. Maybe this will be the first time she hears it. It's about realizing just how much... I was affected by my father. Continue to be. And it's called Four Mirrors. And as I said, I was staying in the apartment by myself this summer for a couple of weeks.
I've slumped in your chair, tossed and turned in your bed, lurked in your lair, I have lived in your head. And where others were closer,
No one is nearer as I glimpse you and me in the hallway mirror. I've grabbed from the plate and I've stabbed with a knife. On day one, my first date, I slept with your wife. And my common law stepmom, I desire and fear her. I compare you to me in the full length mirror. Sharing hair for headlines, scowling, worrying, thinking, with a penchant for white wines, a disposal toward drinking. You had 'em, I got 'em. I move my face nearer, broken blood vessels in the bathroom mirror. And your doormen all know me. It's not so bizarre, so it shouldn't throw me to go move your car. But the ghost of your father, he couldn't be clearer. He's there where he haunted you, the rear view mirror.
Boy, that's such a beautifully detailed, specific song. Thank you. That's really wonderful.
Thanks.
My guest is Loudon Wainwright III. Yeah, I had always wondered about that, about your father. It seems certainly, I wondered, when you were growing up, did you read his columns? Did you read what he did? Or was it one of those things where, it's dad, it's like, you know, he's a bricklayer. I don't go look at the bricks. I don't read the stuff.
No, I read the columns. I mean, and I didn't read all of them, but he was really a good writer, and the good columns are great. I mean, mm-hmm. They really hold up amazingly. The one about when the dog got run over and the house burned down. The personal stuff were the great columns.
Mm-hmm.
But he was always, he had that journalistic sense of beginning, middle, and an end, and clarity, and, making it understandable, I guess.
Yet I would also think that even when he was writing about personal stuff, given the Times and writing for Life magazine, that there was also a kind of formal reserve. He couldn't get as autobiographical as you would in writing.
Yeah, I think that very well could be a generational thing or a difference between the two of us or mm-hmm. both. He, three pages into Life magazine is not really the forum to talk about your broken marriage and the time that you hauled off and whacked your kid in the back of the Pontiac.
Right.
When somehow music and performing these songs that I write are written to be performed. And I think by performing them, you can get away with stuff that you couldn't get away with in other ways.
Mm-hmm. Did he appreciate that quality in your work?
I think he appreciated it to a certain degree, and I think it also turned him off. Mm-hmm. I know that he felt that sometimes I was being exhibitionistic, is that the word? Mm-hmm. Or just gratuitous. It was gratuitous confessionalism or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the way that I write. I can't, if I write a song and it strikes me as being good, I just assume that I'm going to go with it.
Loudon Wainwright, recorded in 1996. His latest CD is called Little Ship. We'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to our concert and conversation with Loudon Wainwright. It was recorded shortly after the release of his 1996 CD, Grown Man.
it seems as if you're writing all the time. I mean, you've churned out 15 albums, I think.
Yeah.
You've got this new album out, and yet have you been writing since then? Or are there new songs you've written?
Well, actually, the new album was recorded almost a year ago. So it's, for me,
it's old stuff now.
It's ancient history. But I've been writing a bunch of new songs. For the last couple of years, I've been, in addition to all these songs where I'm writing about my swinging, cheesy life, I've been writing kind of topical songs, which are fun, and some of which wind up on All Things Considered and Morning Edition
mm-hmm.
on some mornings. And I've got one of those.
That would be great.
Want to
hear
one of those?
Yeah, please.
Paul and George and Ringo, just a fraction of the Fab Four. Some still survive from Dave Clark's Five, washed up on the Mersey Shore. And Jerry has a pacemaker, the hermit's name is Herman. That old man's Manfred Mann, and the animals merely vermin. Ooh. Hank Jr. sang with Senior. His cheating heart was cold. And just a few years back, Natalie and Nat King Cole duetted and went gold. There's a way to make it pay, though they've flown the coop. Let's get Stevie Ray Vaughan, Buddy Holly, Ricky Nelson, Otis Redding in one super group. Bring me the bones of Brian Jones and Joplin's tinted glasses. Hendrix's pick, Moon's drumstick, and a caftan of Mama Cass's. Ooh, rock and roll will never die, neither can her heroes. Just pick a figure with three digits, then tack on about six zeros. The Beatles are forever. It's like John never got shot. Here's what gives: Elvis lives. What is in fact is not. Here's what gives: Elvis lives. What is in fact is not.
That's a crazy little thing called What Gives.
Boy, I'm not sure that the curators of the Museum of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland should be hearing that.
Good.
That's terrific. I wonder if I could ask you to close out with the Jimmy Rogers song, Treasure Untold. I'd be really curious to know how you came to cover this. It's not as if you often have covers of other people's songs on mm-hmm. your album.
Well, it was one of those things where myself and David Mansfield and Chaim Tannenbaum, who are two of the guys that I've been playing with on the records for the last couple of years were just in the studio playing this song. I've known it for years and liked it. And it's not like anything that I write. It's kind of romantic and almost sentimental. Well, it is sentimental a little bit, but it's a soft, beautiful song. And
I mean, maybe we should explain that Jimmie Rodgers is like one of the very earliest country singers.
The father of country music.
Yeah, the singing brakeman.
Right, the yodeling brakeman. He died in probably 1931 of tuberculosis.
Yeah.
At a very, you know, like 34 or 35. That's probably wrong, but way too young.
Right.
And not the man that sang, Honeycomb, won't you be my baby? Right.
Although, I'd like to hear a version of that.
Yeah, I
want to
do Honeycomb.
Yeah. Hey, you've got that.
Yeah. This was the original Jimmie Rodgers.
Right.
And we just recorded the song in the studio, and somehow it seemed to fit the tone of it. You know, I did the A Year song, and it's about a little girl. So it felt like it might be a nice way to end the album, and it does end the album. And I guess I'm going to almost end this interview with it.
Dreaming of you with your eyes of blue, I have loved you forever, it seems. I have longed for you, dear, and wanted you near. You are the girl of my dreams. Though I have met you just now, I'll tell you of my love somehow. If I could but win your heart, little girl, then I would have treasure untold. The kisses you give me in life's sweetest dreams are even more precious than gold. I love your sweet face and your dear smiling eyes. How often this story's been told. If I could but win your heart, little girl, then I would have treasure untold. Adi,
there's a little dare bingle there at the end.
Well, that's really wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, I enjoyed being here. It was fun.
Thanks.
Loudon Wainwright recorded in 1996 after the release of his album Grown Man. His latest CD is called Little Ship.